If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez on this Wednesday, March 27th, 2024, the calm before the storm is tomorrow. Baseball's back. Opening day tomorrow out at Kauffman Stadium. Today on the show, we'll have Mike Boddicker in studio to talk about the P. Diddy situation. Then Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com will be with us, talk some football. Scott Sharp, Royals assistant GM, will be on the phone to talk about, you guessed it, the Royals. So get his thoughts on the opening day roster and the excitement around the ball team. Old friend alert. Oh, boy.
Life is a ball game.
Old friend alert.
We play it every day.
Former Kansas City Ruse head basketball coach Billy Donlin, who is now the associate head coach at Clemson. They're in the Sweet 16, and so he'll take time out of his preparation to join us at 9:05 to talk about that matchup and catch up and see how life is down at Clemson. Has to be pretty good, getting ready for the Sweet 16. And then another old friend alert, Christian Okoye will be with us at 9:30 to talk about a big roast that is coming up next month. And so, always good to talk to Christian Okoye as well. So, a packed show for you today. And let me tell you something. Last night, I was at the NAIA National Championship game down at Municipal Auditorium. And let me tell you, great job by the NAIA putting on an awesome event. It was a fun crowd last night. Two great supporting crowds for the two number one seeds that were battling in the national championship game last night. Man, it was wild. It was awesome. Freed Hardeman out of Tennessee against Langston, Oklahoma. And I'm gonna try to explain what the hell happened. First of all, this game was terrific. And we were down there because as Sports Radio 810 is one of the sponsors of the NAIA tournament. And so last night was 810 night, and so we had a chance to go down there and present the game ball. And I knew that my daughter, Selena, being a huge basketball fan, would love that. So I didn't tell her that I was going to have her go out there with me and help present the game ball. So this is a surprise for her. And so we did that, and that was awesome. And so thank you to the guys at NAIA and everyone there for letting me do that. And so we did that. And then we sat, and they gave us beautiful – we put us at a courtside table to watch the game. And so we watched the game, and it was a terrific game. And, it you know, I know she gets tired of it, but whenever we watch basketball together, I'm always trying to talk to her and coach her, at least – talk about point guard play or whatever, just point out different things. And I caught her doing it with me last night, and it was just really awesome to watch that game up close with her and also my wife. And so the game itself was terrific. And also, Kansas City kid started for Freed Hardeman out of Blue Springs South, Devin Tomlinson. And so we were kind of rooting for the Kansas City kid to win. But the game was terrific. I think Langston only lost one game all year long, but they were both number one seeds. I think maybe Langston got up to a 10 or 11 point lead at one time, but they could never quite put Freed Hardeman away. And so it was, you know what? It was. At halftime, it was 40-31, and then they got up to
13 points. Was a deficit, the highest deficit.
44-31. with about 19 minutes left. It was 44-31.
Yeah, I've been back here listening to last.
Does it sound crazy? Because I haven't heard it yet.
I'm trying to find. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe if I go through this, then it'll help you pick out something we want to play. Because we have the game right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right? So with 45 seconds left.
That's right where I got it, if you want to.
Okay.
This is about a two-minute clip. It's the last 45 seconds, basically.
So it was about a six-point lead with a minute left. And then Freed Hardeman was down six to Langston. They get fouled with about a minute left. They hit one or two free throws, so it's a five-point lead. And then Langston gets fouled. They hit one of two free throws with 54 seconds left, so it's a six-point lead. And then Freed Hardeman's got the ball down six, 67-61. They get fouled, and they go to the free throw line. Okay? So this is for the national championship. And Langston has a six-point lead with 45 seconds left. But they kind of a no-no. They commit a foul. And they allow Freed Hardeman to go to the line to score with the clock stop. You don't want to do that, right? You want them to earn their buckets.
Let the clock keep going.
And so this kid, Quan Lax, goes to the line and makes both free throws. And then here comes the press. And Langston did not know what to do. So you want to pick it up?
I want to hear this.
You want to pick it up there? So, I mean, and to be honest with you, man, and Langston crowd was celebrating. Six-point lead, 45 seconds left, everything. We got a national championship, first national championship for our school. I remember looking over at the coach when they fouled this kid with 45 seconds left to put him on the line. He's like, no, don't, you don't want to do that. Make him earn the bucket. Don't, And so he clock stops with 45 seconds left. The kid hits both free throws. And then it also gives him a chance to set up the press.
Yeah.
Look at how careful Jake is looking at this. I don't know. Should I throw to it? Where are you at in this?
So
in the grand scheme of things.
They just hit a second free throw, and they're up 4 points.
67-63.
42 seconds left.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Is that? Yeah?
Sounds like the situation you just described.
Let's hear it.
See if I can do my job right.
Oh, no.
Important free throw for Quan Lax. 8 of 12 from the line. He hit them both. 4-point game. Mosley runs the baseline. Gets it into
Trap
Dean.
Right
he
away.
Is strapped to it away. Brown.
And one.
Oh! Can make it a 1-point game.
This is the finish I wanted to see. How about you, Tim?
Oh, my goodness.
So
blown away.
The Freed Hardeman offense, defense, defense, offense subbing that worked out right there for sure.
So he makes the two free throws.
It's Geraldo Lane. We'll be at the line.
And they didn't quite throw it away, but Freed Hardeman got the steal off the press, and the kid drives, gets fouled, and hits a shot and one, and then hits a free throw. So basically, they scored 5 points and 5 seconds.
Yeah, the old Larry Bird. Steal by Bird.
Yeah. and just like that, it was like, it was a 1-point game. Right?
I have it at the 1-point game.
So 1-point game, then what happens?
With 42 to play. Lights to the inbound.
Oh, great.
This went through the hands.
Oh,
nearly a turnover. Mitchell has to take a timeout.
Freed Hardeman with some great defensive pressure.
They basically almost threw it away again off the press, right? And so they're holding on to a 1-point lead. And then after the timeout, the press, play it.
Everybody's sweating it right now in Municipal Auditorium. National championship on the line. Lennox will lob to take it away.
Steal.
Law kicks Wheat into the leg, gets fouled.
Another foul call.
They stole it again.
Wright is not happy about that.
No, really. They threw the ball away again. Well, I don't want to say threw the ball away because it was a great press, great pressure. And the kid comes with the steal again, gets fouled again, He goes to free throw line, hits two more free throws, and they got a one-point lead. And then all hell broke loose because then Langston had the ball. They go down, missed a short shot that would have given them the lead. And then Freed Hardeman had a fast break, and instead of holding on to the ball and trying to get time off the clock or whatever, kid just drives, hits a layup, everyone's going crazy, Langston gets the ball, they go down, they try a three to tie the game, miss the three, and there's a loose ball, and then it appears like time goes off the clock, so the confetti cannon shoot up in the air, but the time wasn't off the clock, and so there's confetti everywhere, and the refs are going, no, we got to go, and they're looking at the clock, and looking at the monitor, and they put time back on the clock, and then they clean up all the confetti to let some kids shoot free throws. Anyway, Freed Hardeman came all the way back and ended up winning by four.
Wow.
They were down by six.
One by
with
four.
45 seconds. Well, they hit two free throws at the end.
But that's like the Chiefs being down 10 in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl and winning by 10.
Do you have the end, that breakout when...
Here we go. They get it into Anthony Roy. Roy over the timeline for Langston. 25 seconds to go. Down one.
They got to get the ball to Roy, right?
Roy drives. Roy hangs. Blocked. Rebound. Out near midcourt. Chased down by Freed Hardeman. J.J. Wheat lays it in. Wow, what a finish. Mitchell races back the other way. Mitchell is trapped near half court. He gets it over to Roy. Lennox for the tie. No good. 2 seconds. 1 second. That's the game. Wow.
But it wasn't. And confetti cannons are going everywhere. So, it was awesome. Honestly, and just listening to the call on the radio doesn't do it justice without being there. And we were right across from the Freed Hardeman fan section. That was one of the best, wildest final minutes of a game I've ever seen. And these kids obviously were playing so hard because it's a national championship. Yeah. And you felt so bad because Langston, I don't know that I can remember watching in an important game a team collapse against the press like to that extent,
man.
Because like even when they did get it in a couple of times, it was like they almost traveled, and one time they threw it out of bounds and they didn't know who tipped it, and the coach looked like he was gonna pull his hair out. It was, and credit to Freed Hardeman too for a beautiful press. It was awesome. What an awesome game. And I love going to the NAIA. I love going to the national championship game. That's like our annual deal that me and Selena go to. That was just freaking great. And so I stayed when they were cutting down the nets, and I said, well, hell, for Freed Hardeman, you got a kid from Kansas City that started and won a national championship. And, of course, he had a bunch of people there in the crowd and cheering for him, Devin Tomlinson. And so I just went and grabbed him to talk to him for a couple of minutes. Because, what are the odds? He's a school in Tennessee, and here's this kid that went to, Blue Springs South, that had a chance to start and win a national championship in front of his hometown crowd in Kansas City. So here's Devin Tomlinson from Freed Hardeman, who's from Kansas City, who won a national championship last night. So you're a Kansas City kid. You come back here with your team and play in the NAIA national championship game. You started. What was going through your mind when you took the floor tonight?
It's just another game. If you think too far into it, that's when you get in your head and your game and your body and your mind just starts to go against you. So you got to go into it, just another game. We prepped the same way for this game as we did the first game. We got ready like we did every game before practice, working hard, looking at scout, getting personnel down, and really just wanting to come out here and play hard nose of basketball. I think we did that.
But for real, that last minute, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in a national championship game. Try to explain to me what the hell happened in that last minute.
We just didn't stop believing. There's time on the clock. There's no time to sit down and sulk. The game's not over, and we all knew that. If you look at our bench, nobody's heads down, and if we all were on each other, keeping each other's heads up, keeping each other's spirits high, and with Drew Stutz as our coach, anything's possible. If you listen to him, he will lead you in the right direction. He doesn't want to lead us wrong.
They shot the damn confetti too early, too. All hell was breaking loose, right?
I didn't know what was happening either. I turned around, and Peyton shooting free throws. I'd been in the crowd with the baseball, went up
upstairs. I don't know what was going on, but the job is done. We're going to celebrate, enjoy this, and we're looking to get back here next year.
Hey, you got a big crowd here. Obviously, it's your hometown. How many people you have here, and what did it mean to you to win the national championship here in KC?
I don't think I can put it into words. I mean, during my recruitment process after I graduated from Southwest Community College in Creston, Iowa, all I wanted to be was a part of a team that loved each other and wanted to work hard every single game, no matter who was on the floor. We can believe we can win every single game. I mean, Grace, Elijah Malone, possibly player of the year. And we weren't afraid. We didn't back down from nobody. We just kept our ground and played FHU basketball.
You give a shout-out to anyone out in Kansas City that's listening right now?
Hey, shout-out to my mom. Shout-out to my dad. Shout-out to everybody in the FHU crowd, everybody who watched the game. I love every single one of y'all. And I brought it back home, baby. I brought it home.
Way to rep KC. Congrats.
Thank you.
Devin Tomlinson, who went to Blue Springs South High School and then went to Southwestern Community College in Iowa, and then ends up at Freed-Hardeman University in Tennessee, wins a national championship last night. I thought that was a cool story, so I wanted to grab him. And since
that's awesome.
Casey Kidd.
What a moment.
Yeah, dude, it was a moment. And we were, like, right in the middle of it, and it was just so cool to see everyone. I don't know. Sometimes we overlook stuff like that in small schools and NAIA schools, and we shouldn't, because the level of play last night was so great.
Oh, yeah.
And the emotion and the excitement, that was awesome. And it's makes me proud to have the NAIA championship here in Kansas City. So
those guys can play. I mean, they can.
That should be a commercial
basketball
for NAIA.
These guys can play.
Let's have you there, and this is NAIA basketball. And Nate says, these guys can play.
That's right. How many people get to say they won a national championship ever in their life? You know, I mean,
in their hometown.
Right. In that fashion, too. What a game.
There's Jake's giggling right now.
Oh, Aquinas won a national championship in high school.
Say it. I'm with you. There's not very many people that get to say that.
And you are one.
And I am one. 1994, baby.
What tournament did you guys win to win that?
The USA Today ranking tournament.
Where was that at?
It's in the paper.
Hey, man, I'm claiming those two Helms titles at KU, so yeah. I'm giving you your national title as well. It's a title's a title, baby.
I mean, we had to go undefeated all year long.
So. Stand up to a plucky That's Bishop right. Ward team somewhere along the way, I'll bet.
21-0.
Yeah.
Hey, Rockers did it this year, I guess.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I don't ever want to give them credit, but.
You just did.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's it. So that was my night last night, and that was a tremendous atmosphere. And did have several Sports Radio 810 listeners stop by and say hi or tap me on the shoulder and say something nice, so that was really cool. So, thank you. And, man, great stuff at the NAIA National Championship game last night at Municipal Auditorium. Nate Buchady, tell people where you're going to be today.
Oh, man, I'm going to be at a great new place called Hammer and Nails. It is right on 119th and Row. It is right next to the Red Door Grill. We're having a guys' night out. This is like a luxury fancy lad haircut place, basically. They've got a beautiful full service barber shop on one side where they do haircuts, shaves, all that stuff. And then on the other side, they have like a little spa where you can get manicures and pedicures. And in the front, they have a full service bar. And this evening from 4 to 9, they're going to be doing specials, so you can get – basically, you can buy a $100 gift card there for $81. Get it, because 810, $81. So you get a discount there. We're going to have
– Oh!
So now you get it. It took a second. Food from Red Door Grill, drink specials from great people like Jay Rieger and Company. They're going to be doing haircuts and towel treatments and all that stuff. We're going to have live music. We're going to give away some free golf. Free passes to play golf. It's golf season starting up. I know you're very excited about that, Stephen. And then we got some Sporting Kansas City tickets as well. So just come by. It's basically just going to be a big party. You can check the place out. I got a haircut. I got a fancy lad treatment there the other day, man. I got a haircut. They shaved me. Wow. That sounded weird. I got a haircut and a shave, and I got a pedicure. My feet have never looked better and felt better.
Yeah, you keep those to yourself over there.
Well.
Man.
I'm just saying, if you saw my feet right now, you would say, you know what?
I'm not going to.
He's a big foot guy.
But you're a big,
I am not.
But if you saw these feet, maybe you'd change your tune.
I never will.
I don't think so. No sandals allowed.
No flip-flops. Exactly right. No flip-flops on this show.
House rules.
Yeah. But
keep your shoes on.
If you're a shoe-off type of person, the pedicure is amazing. So I've checked out. It's a really, really great place. And it's right at 119th and Row. We'll be hanging out tonight. I'll be telling long stories if you want. And like I said, they got great specials, giveaways, food and drink.
Where's it at?
119th and Row, right next to that Red Door Grill. Literally right next door.
That's good food.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's going to be a fun night.
Before we break, I'll just remind people that the NCAA selection committee for the tournament deserves a kick in the balls. Last night, Indiana State beat Cincinnati in the NIT quarterfinals, and our big basketball boy, Robbie Avila, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Look, we were all robbed of him playing in the NCAA tournament, and I'm telling you, they would have beat a team or two. Maybe we'd be talking about them in the Sweet 16 as the Cinderella for this tournament. But once again, if they thought Virginia was a better option than the super exciting brand of basketball that Indiana State displays.
Back to the drawing board.
And going back to, like, the original conversation about making the NIT and does it matter? Now, here, Jake, here's an example of a team it matters for Indiana State. It's tremendous. Would they rather be in the NCAA tournament? Sure they would be. Would we rather have them in the NCAA tournament? Absolutely. Would Robbie Avila be one of the stars of the NCAA tournament? Yes. Would they have upset someone? I think so. We'll never know, but I think so. I mean, whoever they were going to be put up against, I was going to pick them in the first round of my bracket, but also my bracket sucks. But how much could it suck if I had my Final Four and national champion still alive? I mean, I don't. Maybe it doesn't suck so much. But the point is, and you're not supposed to look at styles, I guess, but Virginia plays at such a god-awful brand of basketball, and Indiana State is just so pleasing to watch. Such a great style of basketball with one of the most exciting and fun players to watch. And we were robbed of it because the selection committee had their heads off their asses. So that's all. Thank you.
Yep. Yep.
Well, good night. So.
Stupid.
Yeah. But now they go to the
good night.
Final Four of the NIT. And where's that at again?
Not Madison Square Garden.
Right.
Something Fieldhouse in Indianapolis.
Hinkle.
Hinkle. I was going to say Hinkle.
Right? Hinkle.
Or Einhorn.
Remarkable.
You know what else? This is a nice note. Jake, you were not part of this, so Jake, you'll find this to be interesting. About 13 months ago or so, do you remember we had on, because of our friend Bill Lamberty, who is the SID at Montana State, he helped us get their head coach on when Montana State was getting ready to play in the NCAA tournament. Do you remember this? Danny Sprinkle. Mm-hmm. And he was great. And he was on the show because Bill, you know Bill, don't you? He listens to the show. He sends us messages all the time. Jake is oblivious to what I'm saying, but that's fine. And so Danny Sprinkle came on the show. And Bill sent me a message yesterday. I thought this was really interesting. In the 13 months since you were kind enough to have Coach Sprinkle on your show as our head coach before we played K-State in the tournament 13 months ago. So they're getting ready to play to K-State, and so we had Danny Sprinkle on the show. He's gone from Montana State to Utah State, and now he's been named the head coach at Washington.
Wow. They did a great vignette on him before the Utah State game. How he travels around with his parents travel with him and his sisters.
He was a really fun
nephews.
Interview.
He seemed like a great guy. I mean, there's a really great piece that CBS did.
You had no idea he was on the show, did you? See?
I had no
How
clue.
About that? Nate has no recollection
I don't
of it.
Either.
You had no idea? You know? But in 13 months, he went right after, you know, we interviewed him and, you know, they go to the tournament. Then he gets hired at Utah State. Now he gets hired at Washington. So.
Meteoric rise. Amazing. Now he's in the Big Ten?
Sure. Whatever. Someplace.
Major.
He's right. He's in one of the big conferences.
Washington. So.
That's amazing. That's
congratulations
awesome.
To Coach yeah. Sprinkle. We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Let's do a little football talk in there. Lots of discussion about new rules in the NFL. Okay, so this first one from Roger Goodell, what rule is he talking about, Jake?
I believe he's talking about the tackling rule.
The ban on the hip drop tackle. Here's Roger Goodell, who says the rule could be adjusted if necessary.
We'll reevaluate that as the season's going on, and if it's appropriate to make changes in the future, we will. So I think it'll be a big improvement. I think it will bring the play back into, you know, a relevant play, an important play, and an exciting play.
Wrong. Incorrect.
Talking about the kickoff.
Yeah, kickoff rule. So, there you go.
It's 50-50 chance, you know.
Yeah, I like the...
I was still trying to pay attention as if it was about the... Right. I was like, that play will be more exciting?
Good,
what play?
Good write-up by whoever comes up with the throws. The rule can be adjusted.
What the rule?
Dean Blandino, Fox NFL rules analyst. Here he says players and refs will ultimately adjust to the hip drop tackle ban.
It kind of reminds me of 2008, 2009, when the NFL was looking at hits to the head neck area of the defensive players. And a lot of, you know, the NFLPA and a lot of players, especially on the defensive side of the ball, were pushing back. And the question was, well, what am I supposed to do, right? The receiver's going full speed. The receiver may duck their head. And what we saw is the players adjusted. The coaches adjusted. The officials adjusted. I think the league is hoping that this will be kind of the same result where there will be pushback, but everybody will adjust and everybody will get more comfortable. I do feel like that's a little bit different because we keep making the strike zone smaller for the defensive players. And I think eventually we're really going to be able to say, hey, I can't do anything. I can't hit them high. I can't hit them around the waist now because I might get a hip drop. You know, if they take away the contact low, eventually we're going to make that strike zone so small it's going to be really, really tough to play defense.
I like that comparison, making the strike zone smaller. We'll talk to Mike Boddicker about that and see what he thinks. Here, Dean Blandino tells us what the new kickoff rules that have confused many people on social media, the new kickoff rules, what will they accomplish?
It will increase the number of returns because there are other parts of this rule that really decentivize the kicking team from just kicking it through the end zone. Because if you just kick it through the end zone, you're going to give your opponent really good field position. Whereas if you hit it, you have to make the 20-yard line on the fly. And if you hit it in the field of play and it's bouncing toward the end zone, if the returner just lets it go into the end zone, your touchback spot is going to be further back. So really the goal is to kick the ball between the 20 and the goal line and then cover the kick. You know, what remains to be seen is we saw this in the XFL. We didn't see the explosive returns. We saw certainly more returns, but we didn't have as many explosive returns that we thought we might have. So I think that was one of the approaches that the league took to kind of make some changes, give the return team a little more flexibility, which will help in the return game.
Yeah, well, make one correction there. I don't think any of us saw this in the XFL. That's a problem. We don't know what's going on because nobody watched it. So, but if it brings back exciting kickoff returns, I'm all about it. I like it. I don't see the problem.
So they feel like it's going to increase returns while still making it, while reducing injuries, you know, or at least keeping the number of injuries down. Because that was the whole reason they started changing these kickoff rules in the first place, right? Because they found those were the most dangerous plays.
Yes.
So hopefully that's the case.
Do you guys have any issues with this?
I have to admit, I'm still a little... I think I understand the rule. The rules regarding kickoff and onside kick, they do seem pretty complicated.
This is is the XFL.
Yeah, nobody saw that. Or unless you did you?
No.
You watch any of that, Jake?
Tiny, tiny bit.
How much?
Total? I mean, I probably watched at least a half of it. I mean, I saw the kickoff. I mean, so yeah.
Okay. That's the rules. Let's move on to something else. You guys read the story about Clark Kent responding to the F-minus grade at The Athletic?
I have not read.
Anyone put their eyes on that?
No, I've seen some quotes, but I haven't seen the article.
Been too busy digging into this vote.
What vote?
Exactly.
Oh, Jesus. Why do you do this? If I get one more effing email announcing a press conference or an appearance by a mascot or a former player or... I see one more tweet from any more fake ass people out there.
I'm
about to send you an email. Email from Gake Jeteres.
Right.
Press release.
Oh, but I know you're real. I know you're real.
I saw that. I did see that Robert Kraft came out and he got asked about his poor grade as well.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Thought it was interesting. There was a little bit of a difference in tone in the responses, but, you know, anyway.
Did you talk about any massage parlors in Florida?
Right. Say they were going to massage things.
Right.
You know.
Okay, so this is from...
wild.
Kalen Kaler, I assume, I'm hoping I say it right, and Nate Taylor. Chiefs owner Clark Hunt responds to F-minus grade, points to facility investments. Patrick Mahomes, this is how the story opens.
The Clark family.
Patrick Mahomes entered the Kansas City Chiefs training facility last summer for a session of work that didn't involve his passing the ball to any teammates. That day, Mahomes, the Chiefs star quarterback, was the leading actor in a commercial for T-Mobile. He wore a generic yellow practice jersey, and the scene was captured on the Chiefs' indoor practice field. During a break, after several takes under bright production lights, Mahomes approached team president Mark Donovan to discuss the one problem, the lack of air conditioning. Mahomes said to Donovan, "Come on, man." Donovan responded by nodding. A few days later, the Chiefs practiced in the indoor complex. Without air conditioning, the conditions were suffocating, the temperature close to 100 degrees. Sweat was visible through Coach Andy Reid's red windbreaker. Mahomes' decision to voice his displeasure along with other players helped lead team owner Clark Hunt to add an air conditioning system to the complex. It was part of an ongoing upgrade to the facility, which is projected to be completed by early September. Clark Hunt told The Athletic on Monday at the NFL's owners meetings, "We're making some pretty significant investments in the training facility this year, and we'll continue to do that. We've outgrown that building in a number of ways." Clark Hunt said the... Said the Chiefs will have a new, more expansive cafeteria inside the facility, and he expects other changes in the facility too, although he declined to share details.
So I deeply apologize to the Clarks. And
so it goes on to him getting an F-minus. The most damning information from the Chiefs report card was the players' complaints about the facility's outdated locker room, the place where they spent hours, sometimes 6 days a week. The reports that players believe the locker room would be renovated after the 2022 season and before the start of last season. That promise, the report said, was not kept by Hunt and the Chiefs. And remember, J.C. Treader, the former NFLPA president, said the answer the players got back was, "You guys went too far in the 2022 playoffs, and so there was no time to fix it." He said, "They just won another Super Bowl. I know there's some frustration of, we keep winning Super Bowls and nothing is coming back to us. There's no priority on making our lives better, but we kept making the organization more money. That's why Hunt's grade is so low." Hunt denied that part of the report. Hunt said, "I've spoken to some of our veteran players about that, and they've confirmed to me that it was miscommunication. Certainly, I personally never said anything to them about a renovation of the locker room. It was a misunderstanding. Linebacker Willie Gay, now with the New Orleans Saints, had some quotes. He said, "No one ever said, hey, you guys get a renovation if you win a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl in 2019, and that didn't happen. So as players, we knew we were not getting any renovations. But blank, we're winning Super Bowls. So at the end of the day, how much can we argue? Hey, the facility's falling apart, but we won the second Super Bowl in 2 years. I love Clark Hunt as a person." By the way, people have asked, how many Chiefs players actually responded to this thing? NFLPA told The Athletic 47 Chiefs players responded to this. So this wasn't just a handful. 47 players responded to this. Last year's report card showed the Chiefs were one of the few teams without chairs or couches. This is so stupid. Without chairs or couches in front of players' lockers, they instead had stools with no backs. And before and after practices, some players would lie on their backs on the floor to rest and relax. The only change the Chiefs made before last season was to provide players chairs with backs at their lockers. Willie Gay said, "Money was spent very tightly around there. When we did get something, whether it was a chair or a T-shirt, it was like, man, we get new chairs. That was a big upgrade. We enjoyed the small things we got."
I did not conduct that interview with Willie Gay.
I mean, what a terrible look for Clark Hunt, though. And listen to what he's saying. You know, maybe we got a chair or a T-shirt, and we get excited because money was spent tightly around there. And Clark Hunt's like, "Oh, I didn't promise anything." So there's a, you know, how about take care of the team that's winning you multiple championships and filling your family's pockets with money? Why do you have to be shamed into doing this? Why do you have to get an F minus to address this? Why do you? Well, I didn't promise anything. I certainly didn't say anything. Why? Why don't you want to do this for your team? Why don't you want to do everything possible to make Patrick Mahomes happy? Why are we reading a story about Patrick Mahomes bitching about no air conditioning while filming a commercial? No. No. Give that man whatever he wants. Please him. Am I wrong?
I mean, I certainly don't think you're wrong. No.
Whose chair is that?
I thought, I don't know, like, to me, the response of, "Well, I never promised them anything," is kind of like, wouldn't you rather just say, you know what, hey, if the players are upset, I need to address that. I need to make sure
right.
that, you know. And
I'm digging in on the wrong point.
Yeah.
Reed acknowledged Monday that the Chiefs have a smaller than usual training room. The Chiefs rank 31st in that category, as many players feel the room is significantly understaffed and lacks equipment that is often standard. Just 43% of the players who participated in the survey said they get adequate one-on-one treatment time. Willie Gay said, oh, Willie Gay, "I got all the work I needed, but I have heard guys say they won't let me get treatment. They told me, get on the list." Andy Reid said, "I think Clark does a great job. Whatever they say about everything else, I give him an A+ because he gives us an opportunity to win games. As a coach, that's what you like. He's not right over the top of you, beating you up every 5 minutes. He gets it. We have a great working relationship. He allows us to get players and keep players. That's a tough thing to do as you navigate through the salary cap."
Hey, man, and I will say that you don't hear about Clark Hunt meddling, you know, in what Andy Reid and Veach do on the football side. He lets them go do their job, and that's not the case for all owners. So I'd rather have that, but it seems like there could be a balance there.
Such
where
a
you could,
weird, yeah. So such weird quotes and just yeah. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? Jake, why?
They got new chairs.
And a T-shirt.
But it really, chair is that?
But seriously,
who bought that goddamn chair? That's not my chair. Not my chair, not my problem. That's what I say.
Seriously?
No way.
No way.
Like, if you read this and you're like...
It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
This that tone from Willie Gay. Money was spent very tightly around there. When we did get something, whether it was a chair or a T-shirt, it was like, man, we got new chairs. That was a big upgrade. We enjoyed the small things we got.
It's like when you're talking to your kids. You know, we didn't have much when I was a kid. Well, parents gave me a T-shirt, I was happy with it.
I mean, Lamar Hunt was notoriously cheap. I mean, he would fly, like, coach commercial when he'd fly places. I mean, I personally know people that would see him on flights, like flying coach. And he, you know.
Just the quote. Certainly, I personally never said anything to them about renovation of the locker room.
I don't think that's really the point so much. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like you're focusing on, no, the players are wrong.
Right, he's being attacked.
Then that's what your tendency to do in life is if you're feeling like you're under attack, you defend yourself. You get defensive.
Look, if you know you're not in the wrong, then you really don't have to defend yourself.
Yeah, well.
You know? I mean, he must feel like, you know, there must be some kind of, you know, negative emotions associated with this report. As he feels.
Do you think this makes everything look better?
No.
I think that a better answer is something like...
We're looking into this.
Hey, yeah, this upsets me. Yes, if my players...
I hate to hear this.
If my quarterback is out there complaining about no air conditioning, right. then I, you know...
Yeah. I was unaware this was going on. I'm going to do my best to remedy it. You know, we're looking more into it. I don't really know much more than that.
Yeah, I would just, yeah.
Not like,
or
no,
you just keep it, even or even instead of making an excuse of I'm going to wear it, just say, you know what, I take this very serious.
Right.
This is important to me. If my players feel that way, we clearly have something we need to address, and I'm going to address it.
Regardless, it could have been better.
Yeah. Clearly, there's some blind spots there. Yeah. Someone needs to address.
Yeah.
You know.
And because, I mean, and that's, I guess, depends on whether or not you think, I guess if you're an owner, if you think this really matters. You can try to argue with the players and say, no, I never promised you that. Is that going to change their mind?
But it's not the point that, well, they're still winning championships. Well, that's because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones are so great. Don't you want to take care of them because they're winning championships? Yeah. Don't you want them to have the finer things in the locker room, like rich Corinthian leather, the couch?
Leather-bound books.
Don't you want all the finest things? Yeah, I mean, that, you know.
Yeah. Every owner is different.
Yeah.
You know, some take pride in, I want everybody to know that I give my players the best facilities. Some might not really think that matters as much. I don't know.
He might think he's given them enough to win, and that's, hey, what's wrong with what I've been giving you? You've been doing all right with it. I don't know.
And when Mahomes starts complaining, I'm like, yeah.
It's bizarre.
You know,
yeah. You don't want to see him go. Well, I'm gonna go somebody that'll pay me and give me air conditioning.
I'm constantly thinking about Mahomes once Andy Reid leaves, to be making him as happy as possible and setting him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just
they put air conditioning in after Mahomes was mad.
Well, but he had to get mad. You know, that's fine. Okay, great. I just Good comments also from Willie Gay, you know. That's our guy. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.